Duncan preached on John, a passage with women around the well, and he reminded us that we need to drink of the living water and be thirsty again. So today we're going to focus a bit more on the bread, as you've noticed in the message earlier. So please would you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 24. And as you make your way there, I'll just highlight the context behind today's reading once again. The beginning of the chapter, Jesus feeds 5,000 people. Small barley loaves and two fish. And after everyone had enough to eat, the disciples then gathered 12 baskets full of leftovers. And when the people saw the sign miracle, in verse 14, it reads, Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet that was to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountainside. And here I would like to suggest that even in our modern day context, if anyone had to come to you and say to you, I'm going to give you all the money that you need for today and all the food that you need for today, you would also climb into a boat, get into a car, and drive as far as you need to drive to follow this person to once again get your free food or your free paycheck for that day. Would most people agree? Hey, free stuff is lacking. So we jump in that boat and off we go. So that's what they did. And we're going to pick up the reading from verse 24. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats, went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And then Jesus responds to them, I think like anybody else would in his shoes. He says, verse 26, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. In other words, Jesus is saying, you're not here because of me, even the miracles that I've done. You're just here for free food, free resources. How short-sighted is this? I think most of us in this room would know that bread doesn't keep you full for very long. If you haven't eaten anything since yesterday morning and you're doing the whole intermittent fasting thing, your stomach is probably growling right now, and you're wondering, when's breakfast or brunch? That's exactly what happened with this crowd that day. They woke up the next morning after having their fill yesterday and having a great meal. They realized they're hungry again. So they get in a boat, they go find this oak that gave them free food yesterday because they're hungry, and Jesus knows this. He knows that they're just there for the food and the physical desire to be filled and met. He knows they've become focused on the product of the miracle instead of the person. He knows all that they have in mind in that moment is their physical needs. They're not thinking spiritually at all about what they've received the previous day, and that's why they wanted to make him king. Surely in our South African context, if our president tonight announces in his address, which probably won't happen tonight, but if he had, and he announced every single day, you and I will get 10,000 rand to do with what we please. Deposited into our bank accounts, and all we've got to do is be South Africans. The whole world will move here in a heartbeat. Break down the borders. Here they come. You know, because, come on, you know, it's free. You don't have to do anything. It's just given to you. Jesus knows how dangerous this is. And when that doesn't happen, when they can't make him the king of Israel, they say, okay, yeah. Why don't you just give us manna like Moses did? Free food coming down, you know, from heaven. Jesus knows how dangerous that is. He knows what happens when the manna runs out. He knows what happens when the stock market crashes and you and I cannot fulfill our physical needs anymore. He knows when the free supply runs out, so does their commitment to him or to the one who supplied it. And that's why he responds and says, wake up, O sleepers, arise from the dead, and I will give you life. I will give you the bread of life that will sustain you from now all the way to eternity. And I'm able to do it, and I'm willing, because I am the bread of life, the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Now that's going to be our main focus today, is that verse and the verse where he says you've got to work for food that doesn't spoil. And we're going to try to figure out what does that mean for us today, right now. So the first question is, how do we eat this bread that he's talking about that will help us live forever. Now, we must take note that when he was speaking to this crowd, obviously they were thinking, and I was going to have one here, but I don't eat bread. So what a waste of money. And I'm like that. I don't buy stuff and then just waste. But they had an actual loaf in mind. So when he said to them, I'm going to give you bread, give you life, they woke up in the morning thinking, hey, I'm going to have a nice bite of this stuff, and it's going to give me life forever. But then he tells them something that completely shocks them. And it will even shock us to this day. Verse 51, he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And then here's the shocking statement. This bread is my flesh. Now, I don't care what somebody offers you. $1 million a day. I am not eating your arm for R1 million a day. And hopefully every person in this room would agree that if somebody says, I'll give you endless resources as long as you eat up another human being, your answer is no, thank you. Some are considering it. The first service, they were all appalled. They were like, of course not, disgusting. Second service, okay, sure. First service, we were in safe company, Dunks. I'm not quite sure anymore. But that is disgusting. And that's what they said in the text. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? It's appalling. It's revolting. Get me out of here. You know, and if you read the text, that's what they did. Many turned their backs on him that day because it was just unheard of. Like, how can we do this? But unlike the people in the crowd that day, you and I know that Jesus meant not physically, but spiritually. He didn't mean that literally. He was speaking figuratively. And so how do we figuratively eat this bread that he was talking about? You see, the crowd was satisfied the previous day, physically. And so when Jesus makes this illustration, at first they're like, we don't get this. You're telling us to eat your flesh, which is disgusting. So you must mean something else. And unfortunately for us today, at the very heart of the prosperity gospel lies this lie. That if you keep following Jesus from one miracle to the next, he will meet our physical needs. People live for this. They get into their cars and they drive hundreds of kilometers to go to the next miracle, go to the next worship service or the next teaching where somebody promises you, if you keep following Jesus, your bank balance will be amazing. That's what they thought. I'm going to live forever. I'm never going to die. Jesus is going to supply all of my physical needs. Now, friends, when we live like this, we completely forget that every single miracle points us to Christ, not the bread, not the fish. Every single miracle in Scripture points us to Jesus. And so if you and I only live for the miracles, only live for the great worship experiences and the great teachings, and we don't live for Christ, then our entire relationship with God will rot and fade away. Because when the miracles run out, so does our commitment. When worship's not that great that day, oh, so does our relationship with God wander. Or when the preacher goes on for 2 hours or a bit too long, then we're like, hey, you know. So just know, I'm not hungry, so we'll be here until 12. You know, some folks, I don't know. But the point is, Jesus is trying to help people understand that if you and I just come to him for miracles, that's not going to last. He wants to give us something that will last even further. And so when the crowd is puzzled by this, that they're expecting loaf, and then Young doesn't even bring one to church. That's what they expected. There's nothing. And they ask him, but what do you want us to do then? We can't eat the bread that you're talking about. What do you want us to do? He says, this is what God wants you to do. Believe in the one that he has sent. Believe in the one that he has sent. Believe that I am the bread of life, and whoever believes in me will have eternal life. But just like normal bread fills us and nourishes us physically and keeps us alive as long as we keep eating, Christ will fill you and nourish you spiritually from now into eternity as long as you and I keep eating. So the question is, what is that eating? Eating is believing. As long as you and I keep believing that Christ is the bread of life, he will sustain us, he will nourish us now into eternity. But you and I are forgetful beings. We forget that Christ is the bread of life. We forget that he sustains us. We often go onto little rabbit trails. And therefore, Christ says, spend your time. Work at the food that does not perish. Work on your relationship with God daily. Eat from the bread of life daily so that spiritually you will be healthy and well-fed from now into eternity. And so maybe you're sitting here today and you've come to realize that there's a spiritual void in your life, deliberately, by God, that only he can satisfy. And I shared this with a group on Thursday night when we were doing a parenting course, that 2020, yes, was tough. We've lost a lot of lack of things, and for me, I'm a hugger. I love hugging people. Now I can't hug you until we've got herd immunity and all sorts of other stuff. And that sucks. But a really good thing happened for me in 2020. I used to idolize golf, if you know me well. I would spend hours on the driving range trying to figure out shots like Tiger Woods and play things that you shouldn't be able to do on a golf course. I would do it for hours. I would wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and watch the Masters and watch it again and the highlight package too and come to work like I'm not quite sure what's happening today. But then I drink a lot of coffee and it all happens to be okay. But I idolized golf and I used golf at times to fill that void in my life instead of going to Christ every day, saying, Lord, I'm not quite full. I feel a little empty inside. And so I would go in and ball after ball after ball after ball. And no joke, at times I was hitting 1,000 balls a week, trying to fill the spiritual hole with a thing. And last year, a friend of mine helped me realize, and lockdown as well, because we couldn't play golf. We couldn't go and practice or anything else. We even tried a little mini putt-putt course in the coffee garden while we were living here. It's not the same. Not even close. But a friend challenged me and said, are you not trying to fill a spiritual hole with a physical thing? Maybe you're sitting here today, you're still quite satisfied inside. You're not fulfilled. You're still searching for something. Maybe it's golf. Maybe it's work. That you are all of your life, all of your time into your career in search of something to fill that spiritual hole. And unfortunately, it will never satisfy. Or it's money. You just try to work harder, earn more, to buy bigger, greater, fancier, all that kind of stuff. Little do we know that it still won't satisfy. Or you're jumping from one job to the next, to the next, to the next, in desperate longing for a satisfaction that is, but you are trying to fulfill it with a physical thing. Or you're going from one relationship to the next, to the next. Oh, friends, God longs to fulfill us, but we keep putting a square pole into a round hole. We keep shoving more bread, more money, more resources, even a sense of longing, relationships and jobs into a spiritual void. And God is saying, all I want you to do is believe that I will fulfill you and I will satisfy you. Stop shoving more bread into that hole. It's just going to rot. And then you and I will get to the end of our lives and we'll be unsatisfied, empty. And we've missed out on living this life completely fulfilled in and through Christ. So let us not do what the crowd did. Try and follow Jesus to just plug that hole physically. Rather, let us follow Jesus for who he is. The bread of life, the giver of eternal life. And let him fulfill and sustain you fully. Now the second part of our reading today is that Jesus says, work for that food. Work for that relationship that doesn't spoil. And so firstly, we can't just believe in God. Believe that Jesus is the giver of all things and just sit. Just go, okay, well, I am now fulfilled. I'm fine. Believe in Jesus. I've got eternal life. Great. For those who have been Christians for a long time, you would agree that we are forgetful beings. We forget that Jesus fulfills us only the way he can. And we go off rabbit trails every now and then. We go and play golf again, or we start a new job in search for spiritual nourishment and fulfillment. And that is why it is crucial for you and I to wake up every morning, do it sometime during the day, and eat from the bread of life. And what I mean when I say that is you and I have to prioritize spending time reading God's word and praying and spending time with him. Because if you and I don't, just like it will happen naturally, if you and I stop eating, we will die eventually. Be a slow and painful death, but you will die because your body needs nourishment. If you and I do not feed our spiritual beings, it will die. We will not understand what it means to live this life and live it with abundance spiritually if we don't feed ourselves spiritually. We will just meander through life. And when the storms of this life come, we struggle because we are not strong enough spiritually to handle the weight of that storm. And so friends, that's what he means when he says, work for food that doesn't spoil. Work on your relationship with God every single day so that when the storms of this life come, you're able to withstand it. Just like physically, we've got to eat properly so we can grow with strength, especially little ones, you've got to eat properly, grow with strength. He's like, whatever, Uncle Jan, I'm not listening. Okay, you guys, hey, you got to eat properly and grow your strength so you can run faster than dad. Hey, she's like, yeah, that made her smile. Okay, we understand that. Physically, we have to grow. We have to nourish ourselves. Let us do the same thing spiritually. But there is a danger in it. There was a danger in the crowd that day, in the context that day, where some people caught onto this. They're like, okay, I've got to read my Bible and pray every day, and that's all I'm going to do. So I'll neglect my families, I'll neglect life in general, I'll neglect my responsibilities on earth, because Jesus says I must work for the heavenly things and that alone. If that's your calling, then great, because Duncan and I rely on you to write commentaries and nice theological books all day, every day. But if that is not your calling, then there has to be a balance. We have to ensure that, yes, we are keeping ourselves heavenly minded, but we cannot do it to that extent we are no earthly good. Where you'd walk in Daddy's study and he's just reading his Bible all day. And you're like, hey, Dad, just spend some time with me. Let's go for a run. He's like, hey, I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. There's no time for that. And then the relationship with father and daughter does not exist. And Duncan's challenged me quite severely on this in the last 2 years. For those who know me, while I am an absolute workaholic, I will die here, literally, at 4 o'clock in the morning on top of scaffolding, fixing stuff. But Duncan's like, come on, Jan. Yes, this is your calling and you love the Lord, but you're trying to fill the spiritual hole once again with physical stuff. I'm like, oh, but the church is important. He's like, stop justifying it. Go home. Time with your family. Go. It's so important to keep this in balance. Yes, be heavenly minded, but ensure that you remain in touch with your earthly responsibilities. So friends, out of this text, there are two things we need to remember. Christ wants to fulfill us from now into all eternity. We have to believe in him in order for that to take place. But you and I must hear the call of God today. Seek him and him alone for spiritual satisfaction and fulfillment. Stop filling that hole with physical things. It doesn't work. For those who've been around a while, you can testify to this. When you are completely satisfied in Christ, there is nothing greater in this world. Nothing. No amount of money, no job, no promotion, nothing is greater than being completely fulfilled in Christ. Because all the other things, friends, will fade away. Thieves will come in and steal. The bread will expire and become blue cheese. It will fade away. Christ won't. If you are fulfilled with him and with him alone, he is with you now into all eternity. And there's no greater feeling than that. There's no greater satisfaction than knowing Christ and being known by him. And the second thing is, keep working on your relationship with God. So believe that he is and keep that belief going at all cost, but not at the cost of your responsibilities on earth. Those have to be kept in balance at all times. Grow spiritually fit in the Lord so that when the storms come, you can withstand it. Whatever happens in this world, you know Christ is with you and will guide you through it every step of the way. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful for the miracles found in your word, and that each miracle points us to you, Jesus Christ. But this morning, Lord, we ask that for those of us sitting here that have become aware of the fact that they have been trying to fill a spiritual void with something physical, if you have the courage, raise your hand and say, yes, that's me. I've been running after physical things to fill a spiritual void that God has placed in my heart. Thank you for that hand. And Lord, you do see the hands raised and those who aren't raised. We ask, Lord, that you will forgive us for those moments in our lives where we've gone down the rabbit hole and we've tried to fill a spiritual need in our hearts with something physical, with something that will rot and fade away. Forgive us for those moments, and Lord, we ask that you would come right now and be the bread of life. Be the giver of life in our hearts once again. Come and sustain us, fulfill us, satisfy us, that we will not run down those rabbit holes again. And when we Lord, make it clear to us. Put the warning signs on our paths as much as possible. Use friends and family members to just nudge us back towards you. And maybe that's gone down a rabbit hole. You've realized that your spiritual life is built on things that will rot and fade away instead of Christ alone. This morning, rededicate your life to the Lord again. So Lord, here I am. Fill me, satisfy me again, and help me, Lord, to keep growing in my relationship with you, to keep working on it, so that spiritually I would be strong enough to withstand all that this world will ever throw at me, knowing that you are with me and that you will carry me through it all. From now into eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand as we share in the benediction. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. May you have a peaceful week and enjoy eating from the bread of life. Cheers.